Yeah, so my teenage daughter, I mean, I just wanted to talk to you with respect, and, you know, but at the same time, like, I know it was weird growing up, and I want to respect her boundaries. I'm at my wit's end, Paul.
Let me stop you right there, because we're running out of time. My advice to you, take her to a mausoleum and leave her there. I hope that helps. That's all the time we have for You're On Call with Paul. I'm Paul Bearer, the creature of the night's valet. The Undertaker being the creature of the night. Stay tuned for, what's this? The Mascot Wedding Show. I believe that's about funerals. Stay tuned. Oh, for fuck's sake.
You're still in the airport.
I don't care. Bring me something to drink. Bring me a Malted. I love Malted.
Everybody, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the internet's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hodder.
My name is Mac Blake, and we are your podcast lions. Growl.
Put in the sound effect of a lion.
Oh, I'll do that.
Yeah.
There it is. We are recording live. No, we're not. Fuck. We're recording from the Hodgecast Studios here in Austin, Texas.
HP.
The Hodge Pound.
Yeah.
What was that?
I'm the guy who got fired from the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh.
He got fired from the audience. He couldn't do it right, and so he had to leave.
Did he sneak back in with a fake mustache?
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
They always do.
Classic move. This is episode 275, the case of...
The candy with cum on it.
I think I solved the mystery.
Oh, no.
Someone came on this candy.
Well, I couldn't solve the mystery because all the evidence was gone by the time I got through.
Oh, what a delicious start to a tasty episode. David Hata, as one half of the Magic Boys.
Uh-huh.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. A little tired, but doing all right.
I think this is probably the earliest we've ever recorded.
Oh, my God, yes.
Which is, we're here at the crack of noon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, normally I'm up earlier than this, but this was one of those weekends where I was like, I'm going to sleep in, but I still, like, set an alarm for 11 just in case.
Yeah.
I hit that alarm. And, so now here I am. Yay!
I had big plans for waking up at 8.
Yeah?
And doing something. But instead, I woke up at 9. Day ruined.
Yeah, can't do that again.
Yeah. It stinks because it's the eternal struggle of the weekend is, it's the weekend I want to sleep in, but it's also, it's the weekend, it's my time, right? It's my time. I want to do something with it.
Yeah.
I just want to be a bum all day long.
Yeah, it's a real bummer now because, like, because it is my time, but now I'm so busy all the time that I have to schedule time to be lazy. Like, and if I don't do that thing that I've scheduled, then I get stressed about that. Where it's like, oh, it's Sunday, I want to catch up on Modern Family. And then I don't catch up on Modern Family. It's like, oh, my fucking weekend's ruined, and I can't, like, go back to that.
Normally, I would assume that's a joke. But do you watch Modern Family?
I do. I mean, that was the first show that came to my mind. But it's not like... I've skipped over several episodes where, like, I'll go to the DVR and it's like, I'm not watching these five. Let's just delete those.
I will say that a number of people have told me, like, Modern Family's actually pretty good.
I won't be one of them.
You won't be one of them?
Well, I mean, I won't... It's not one of those where I'll go out on a limb and say, oh, my God, you got to see Modern Family. But it's nice enough for me.
Do you feel like you watch it because you're such a big Married with Children fan?
Funny you mentioned that. I was watching Married with Children just last night. It was one of those where it's like, oh, it's 2:30, I'm going to bed, and let's just see what else is on. And Married with Children's on. I was like, well, I'm not going to bed till 3. And so, I forgot how much I love that show. Since that was your question about Married with Children and how much I love it.
I need to just have a night where I stay up the entire night just to reset my party clock.
Uh-huh.
Because, man, 12:30 rolls around. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
I'm so...
Were we at the end of the earth? Did I just survive something?
The other day I had an incident where I was having a conversation with my girlfriend and I fell asleep in the middle of a sentence that I was saying. Like, we were talking about...
When you woke up, did you finish the sentence?
No, I woke up and I was like... I woke up and I believe I said something effective. Was that my sentence? Because I didn't know if I was listening to her and I fell asleep or if I was in the middle of one and fell asleep. And it was mine.
Was that my sentence? I like that. Did she know what you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, because she was watching me fall asleep. Like, we're like, you know, a foot and a half away from each other having a conversation. And then I just kind of go, and then I'm back up. And it was it was kind of scary. That's what dying feels like.
Speaking of what dying feels like, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special in-studio guest who has quietly and patiently waited for us to shut up. She's a member of Stat Comedy with us. She is also in the Powerhouse Improv Troupe, who frequents Cold Town Theater, Precious Dads, and part of the comedy variety show, The Hustle Show, which David hosts. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimena Estrada.
Yay! I was trying so hard not to laugh. I didn't know if it was appropriate.
You can laugh. You can always laugh on the show.
I like that you cared, though, because nobody else will either feel inclined to laugh or care. So.
But that was so funny, though. Like, because it reminds me, when I was little, I took, I think I was in fifth grade, I took piano classes, and I would go straight from school to piano classes after school, and I was always so tired. And the lady would always start the class by having me stand by the piano, and she would play, and I would have to look at what she did and then do the same thing. And I was so tired once that I fell asleep standing up. And this was a really old lady who lived with her old lady sister. And you would have thought it was the 1800s, and I was like a lady in a corset that had fainted, because they went crazy, like, oh my goodness. And they brought water, and they fanned me, and they like treated me like a queen for the rest of the afternoon. But ooh, that feeling, it's that feeling of like, you know, you're definitely in a moment where you shouldn't be falling asleep, and then you just lose control. I was standing up, and I was just like, I couldn't take it anymore. I gave out. So it's just so funny to fall asleep in the middle of a sentence and just, because you're doing something.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the thing where, okay, as long as I'm active, as long as my brain is functioning, then I'll stay awake at least through the end of this sentence. I had like four more words to go.
I mean, you're an adult. You should be able to do that at least.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's part of, oh man, staying up late still feels like I'm getting away with something.
Yes.
Like I'll never be able to shake it, like, oh, it's 3 a.m. and I started a movie? Fuck yes, forever. Like it just feels like my 10-year-old self would be like, wait, you own RoboCop? And you can watch it whenever you want? Ah, that's right, I can, and I do. Oh, wow.
I totally feel that way. Yeah. Falling asleep on the couch feels like such a luxury. And then if someone were to come and turn the TV off, I get angry because I'm like, I'm watching that, even though I wasn't watching it, because I refuse to go to bed.
Yeah.
Forever. I will always refuse to go to bed.
I've got a new thing now, or it's not a new thing, but my girlfriend's a night owl. Like, she doesn't have a day job, so she can stay up as late as she wants, and she does. So now, this thing that I used to do, staying up late, and was kind of a fun treat, has now become this challenge of my manhood, where it's like, all right, I gotta stay up as late as she does, or at least make an effort. Like, she'll go to bed at 4 a.m. I can make it till 2, but even that's kind of fudging it. Like, in my ideal world, 11:30, probably. Like, I'd be out before Seth Meyers, but can't do it anymore.
Jimena, true or false, you are my girlfriend?
True.
That is correct. And you were the same way. Like, before there was a period of time where you would not go to bed before 3. And I would have to be up the next day, and I'd be like, "Nah, man, let's do it. Let's keep watching TV."
Yeah,
because I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but now I feel like it's a challenge of maybe not my manhood, but definitely my partyhood.
Sure.
That I can't.
Partyhood.
I want to stay awake, and I'm fighting to stay awake, especially like nowadays when Mac is coming home late after shows that he's doing. So I think, oh great, the party can get started at 12:30. And I get excited. I'm like, oh, what are we going to watch? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And then I fall asleep in half an hour.
Yeah.
And I, it breaks my heart. The next day I'm like, what? I had all night to, and now I'm awake.
But let me throw this out at you, though. You have a job now. You're an adult. And so do that thing where you stay up till 3 or 4 and then go to work the next day and just feel how miserable you are.
Yeah, oh, I do that, though. I stay on the couch. Well, I don't stay awake, but I stay on the couch long enough to where you aren't getting your full rest.
Yeah.
So I'll fall asleep on the couch, say at 11, but I'll stay there opening my eyes and closing my eyes and sort of just not really asleep until around 3 sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go to bed and I wake up at 6. So I do definitely go to work very tired, but I still didn't get anything out of it because I was like, I never committed to either staying awake or getting my rest.
Right.
I'm awful, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't like get to watch shows or read books during that time you were quote unquote staying awake. But now you get up at 6?
I try. I'm definitely slipping further and further towards 7. But now that we have a dog, I just like to, rushing is the best way to just ruin everything for me. So I try to like, hey, if I get up early enough, I can take the dog out, I can relax, I can have breakfast, I don't have to rush. Mm-hmm. But I'm slowly slipping towards, I'm just going to rush, man, because I need that sleep.
Man, it does feel really nice, though, to wake up early and have some extra time at home in the morning. because I can eat breakfast there instead of you know, not eating breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You can you don't have to shit at work. You can pull out a home game real quick before getting off.
Well, I really like.
Oh,
what?
Just a way through this transition. I wonder where this is going.
Oh no, I was still talking about time in the morning. I just really like when I'm done with everything right before I leave, just leaning back on the kitchen counter and having a cup of coffee and not rushing it, and just watching the dog play and being like, I'm not in a rush. Like it will never cease to surprise me.
Yeah, I'll amend that a little bit. I love that too. But I have to wake up organically. Like, if the alarm wakes me up, I'll never have that. Like, it'll be noon before I'm finally awake. But if I just turn off the alarm and just sleep, the funny thing is, I'll sleep till like 8:15 instead of 8 o'clock, and it's like, man, I feel refreshed. Like,
that's true.
I should just let my body go, and then just hey, you're listening to Wake Up Talk.
Yeah, Wake Up Talk.
Man, it'd be funny if this was like a morning zoo radio show. And you're like, how do you, what's your wake up style? And people driving to work would be like, I can talk about this at home. Maybe, I'll never understand it. Like, Morning zoo radio, how like overly sexual it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that topic is titillating. I get that part. But I wonder if somebody's out there is like, man, I love a good morning boner as I'm driving to work.
Yeah, exactly. I won't name names, but I have Sirius XM radio in my car, and one of the stations is like the porno channel, where it's just like people calling. Yeah. A friend of mine who remained nameless has a friend who we know who shall also remain nameless, who liked listening to it just because he liked hearing truckers beat off. Like, I mean,
this is too many people. You're gonna have to name names.
It was me, guys. It was me.
There you go. I don't know why I just didn't say that. It was Havana.
It's not. You're not talking about our friend Jared Winkerman, are you?
I am. Oh, Jesus. My God.
Yeah, he loves beating.
He's not gonna get that Congress bid now. Thanks a lot.
He wasn't close.
Not gonna see those Winkerman signs around town.
Yeah, he was only at Tea Party because he thought it was something different.
Gross. Boo. Mike, how are you? I didn't get to ask you.
I'm good. I saw something on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a billboard that was advertising a good deal for braces for kids. And they showed a picture on the billboard of a kid with braces smiling like, yeah, braces! It's like that's what he was saying. And I remember once when I was a kid, there was a period of time where I wanted braces. Mm-hmm. Like I saw other kids with braces. I was like, oh man, cool. Which now it's like, why? Why would you ever want that? It's so annoying.
You wanted braces as a kid?
Look, I got my wish and it was not fun.
Where are those pictures?
I had braces. Oh, there's so many of them. I had braces forever. I had braces for 7 years.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I switched orthodontists halfway through, and then they were like, oh, these braces weren't doing anything because I moved. And
wait, that's why they weren't doing anything?
No. Like,
you're supposed to sit still.
Yeah.
One orthodontist, he get braces, mm-hmm. and then we moved. And then I got a new orthodontist, and this orthodontist was like, man, these braces, like, he wasn't doing what he should have, the first doctor or whatever. And so I had them until my senior year of high school.
Jesus.
But I feel like I got them off the summer before, and I feel like once I got those braces off, it was, it was like a body. It came out of my shell.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like senior year of high school, I was pretty cool.
As opposed to the other previous 7 years.
Yeah, whereas picked on or something. But some reason having that smooth teeth.
Uh-huh.
Because, you'd run your tongue over the front of your teeth, and you'd just be like all these metal brackets.
I thought we just talked about boner radio. I thought you were trying to give people morning boners.
But then, people are listening to us at night probably.
Okay, so hey, night boners.
Night boners, it's fine. It's fine.
Night boners with Mac Blake.
Okay, call and tell me about your boner. Well, you know what? We're going to stop this radio show right here. I didn't realize until I said it, this is a terrible idea. I know we put a lot of planning into this. The marketing push was pretty aggressive, but I don't think we should continue.
Hi, I'd like to call it about my night
boner. Nope, sorry. I don't know how you got on. Producer, stop.
I'm rubbing mine against the wall right now.
Okay, where's the hang-up button? I'm sorry, it's our first show.
Snail trail right now.
Yeah, that's really gross.
Hello, I'd like to tell you about my boner.
How did another caller get on the air?
It's a night boner.
Okay, it is, but we don't do the show anymore.
I taught my night boner how to play the harmonica.
Okay, you've missed the original intent of the show. But, maybe this could be the show.
Hi, I'm still on the line. Do you have to clean out the harmonica on the regular?
Right. Oh, man, all the time. All the time.
Oh, jeez.
A lot of stuff in this night harmonica.
Are you getting the business from this, first caller?
Hold on. A little bit, yeah.
Oh, no, that's not good.
You hear that?
Yes, I do.
I'm banging it against the wall again.
Stop.
I have more stuff in my harmonica.
We'll be right back. We should just call the show. We'll be right back.
We should just call it Night Boners.
Yeah.
Night Boners.
We should watch our iTunes numbers climb into the mountain.
I will, as an experiment, maybe we should just create a second podcast Same content, same exact content. We just call it Night Boners.
Yeah. I like that.
Can I be a part of it forever?
You will. No, this episode will be episode one of Night Boners.
Okay. Yeah, you'll be Jimena, the harmonica babe.
Yeah.
You'll just be Harmana. Why did that take so long?
Harmana? Oh, I get it.
I was made for that.
I told you I've talked about this before, but I was listening to a sports talk station in town many a year ago. I don't know if this is still the case, but they had the traffic reporting was done by the traffic babe.
Sure.
And she sounded like, I'm going to say she sounded about as unfuckable as a person could be.
Okay.
Because she was like, hey, it's the traffic babe.
Hi, this is Agnes.
Hey, how's it going? Hold on. My lower half fell asleep again.
I like how we associate names with unfuckability, where it's like, oh, her name's Gertrude. Gross. We're like, I'd like to see a hot Gertrude.
Yeah. Why don't you change that? Like, hey, you're going to be accepted to the Coors Light bikini team. Your new name is Agnes. We're taking it back.
What if Gertrude goes by Trudy?
Let's get
I
back
like your initial reaction. Enough said.
Let's get back to the original point that, like, she could go by Gertrude for all I care, as long as she's on the bikini team.
The Coors Light bikini team.
Stay on the bikini team. I'll fuck you whenever, right? But you get out of the family.
But just the fact that, like, you know, again, morning boners, like, I need my traffic to be sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the traffic slut. Traffic is going fast and easy, kind of like me. It looks like the one-on-one's wide open, like my spread legs. Oh, enjoy, right. It's the traffic, babe. Oh, my God, I just spilled cocoa butter all over my naked bosoms. Hey, by the way, Mopac's backed up all the way from the upper lower. Next split, gotta go.
Begging my boner to get along again.
Oh, my God. The traffic babe's the best part. Hey, you're on Sports Talk. What do you think about that Mac Brown firing? What's the traffic babe up to?
Surely someone, like, went to a meet and greet, like, where they're like, hey, we're at Pinky's Wireless. Come on out and meet us. And, like, someone went and tried to meet the traffic babe with, like, roses or something. And they saw her and they just pretended the roses were for themselves. And was like, oh, these aren't for you, traffic babe.
Sorry. I'm a rose salesman. I'm one of those rose salesmen downtown.
He sells it to the traffic babe instead.
He refuses sales to the traffic babe.
Yeah, $5. You know, I used to listen to this radio station, WAVA, in Washington, D.C., and there's these two guys named Don and Mike. Mm-hmm. And they eventually they spread out to different markets or whatever. I remember being in Florida years later and hearing them on 1010 Talks in Tampa.
Ooh.
But Don and Mike were like, they were almost kind of shock jock style, I guess, but they were really like sarcastic and they liked The Simpsons a lot. And I mean, it probably wouldn't be funny by today's standards. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard it in forever.
Well, we're sure trying.
But as a kid, man, it was great. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved it. My dad didn't want me listening to it, which made it all the sweeter.
Oh, it's super dangerous at that point.
Yeah. And the one guy could do like any impression, but I remember they hosted a charity football game, flag football game in the DC area. So they had a lot of Redskins players. Mm. And I remember they got covered on local news and they showed pictures of these two guys and they were just the biggest, fattest guys ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but at the time I was like, what? But they just look like big nerds. And I thought if you're a big nerd, that's fine. I'm a big nerd.
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to listen and like you. Like, is that a weird thing to say?
For
like,
some reason, I imagine these guys as like bronze-skinned Adonises.
Exactly, because they're on the radio. They're gods.
Their voice is so deep. His name was Don Geronimo Mike O'Mara. Oh, my God.
I kind of wish we still had the radio show so we could have people call in and describe what they think we look like.
Now I'm sad. Now I'm sad we don't have the radio show anymore.
Well, think about the radio show and then you'll be happy again.
Oh, yay. We don't have a... Tell you what, if you guys want to get the experience of us on the radio, play some religious broadcasting right before we go on and then listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Well, can we intercut some commercials for knives or something?
Yeah, the knife sharpest.
Yes.
I still feel like that's a joke. We used to have... Now I'm going to explain. We used to have underwriting announcements. If you listen to the podcast, we would not put in there. We'd edit them out. But one was for the knife sharpest. And I was always like, is this a joke? But no, it's a store that just sharpens knives. And you know what? Any local business, kudos.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you know, like a business would close. I'd be like, yeah, go to hell, Jeremy's Pizza. But then you realize it's like, you know what? Someone like opens up their own business. That's like their dream.
Yeah.
And they worked hard. And it wasn't like, hey, I just did some financial forecasting, and I don't think this thing is going to be huge. Let's close it down early. No, those businesses die hard.
Yeah.
Like, they probably go into like tens of thousands of dollars of debt, if probably more.
Yeah,
before that business closes. So like, let's say, for example, the Stallion Bar and Grill on Airport.
Yes. I was just about to bring that one up.
We ate there, David, right?
We did.
And how would you describe that experience?
They couldn't care less about us.
Yeah. And the food was?
Not very good.
Yeah. It was pretty gross. And so when I see the Stallion Bar and Grill close, I'm like, oh, man, you know, maybe someplace good will open up there. But I'm also not beaten up about it. But at the same time, you're like, oh, man, that's somebody's business or whatever.
I get your point. I mean, I'm not going to drive by Roger Stallion's house and be like, oh, you suck.
Yeah.
You blew it.
Way to fuck up, asshole.
But at the same time, I couldn't even think of something I like. Is that sad? As soon as a Cracker Barrel opens up there.
Oh. I could buy a $300 wooden rocking chair.
Yes, exactly. I'll be like, yay. Fuck you, Stallion Grill.
Although, you know, it's not the economy's fault.
Yeah.
That barbecue was so gross.
Yeah, exactly. See, sometimes you just kind of have to be glad that something's gone.
You know, economic Darwinism.
Mac, I don't feel like I should have to explain bitterness to you.
Oh, you shouldn't. Try not to be as bitter, but you know what? It's so good. Bitterness feels so good. Hey, man, a bitterness. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Oh. We'll be right back. You're on Bitter Talk.
We got Jimena, the bitterness babe. How about that season? How about that series finale of Lost, Jimena?
My lower half fell asleep.
Oh, my God. It's
so bitter.
The Lost babe. The Lost recap babe. She's going to recast episodes of recount episodes of Lost and somehow make him sexy.
When Michael made... He shot those two other people.
Actually, that probably exists.
I guess I don't have to fucking watch that anymore.
See, other people, they're like, oh, what's your podcast about? It should be about something specific. It doesn't have to be our podcast. It's about 9 things.
Yeah, it's like jazz.
Every episode, we drop 20 ideas for podcasts. Yes. All right?
People. We drop 40 more references to things that got canceled 5 years ago.
Yeah. You see that? That's how it's done.
Yeah.
We could do 90 very specific podcasts, but we don't want to. We do them all. It's a mega cast.
Mega cast.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
The Omnicast is what we'll call it.
Yes.
Omnicast.
When people ask me what this podcast is about, I'm going to say everything in a real deep voice and then probably shoot a gun in the air.
I'm going to say everything but rap and country. Just okay. That's a fun answer.
Yeah, that is a fun answer. So, Jimena, we should ask you something before conclude the interview portion. So you do a lot of stage comedy.
I do. I do.
Guten Tag.
Ah, a Fräulein. What do you like most about it? I gotta ask.
What do I like most about it?
So, for example, like stag comedy, which is a group that we're all in, which is a sketch. And what's something if somebody's like, oh yeah, comedy, or I don't want to say that. So somebody's like, yeah, it's a sketch comedy. What do you like about it?
Well, let's see. I mean, of all the projects to do with your friends, getting together to create something extremely funny and putting it on different stages and having people appreciate it, that's pretty great. It's pretty great to be associated with people that are so funny and talented and can just come up with ideas. I mean, going to meetings and hearing all the ideas that come out of these people, it blows me away. It's intimidating because you go home and you're like, man, I want to be funnier, but that's a good thing that you're always wanting to improve. So it fulfills my life very nicely.
Oh,
I'm gonna ask you a dumb comedy question that people ask me on occasion. So it's like, you do improv and also sketch. What do you get out of improv you don't get out of sketch?
Improv, after doing a lot of sketch shows where, I mean, the writing and the memorizing and just the props and the costumes and man, and you go to different sketch shows around the U.S. We've gone to several, you know, places.
Also Canada.
Yeah.
Which we won't talk about.
That's true. Doing improv is such a sweet, sweet break from that, because you don't have to worry about a thing until you're on stage. And even then, it's like, whatever, man, just watch me say some shit. And I love it. It's the one time I absolutely don't get nervous. I just go up there and do what I do, and... It's you're still putting on a show, but you don't have to worry about it as much. I like that.
So you're telling me that improv is somehow better than like checking a bag of hats through customs? Because that's a thrill.
You know, maybe it's not better than that. Maybe it's not better than taking prop guns or putting fake knives into a plastic bag and putting a letter on the bag that says, this is a prop for a sketch show, which Mac has had to do when we travel with our props.
Yeah.
You're telling me improv comedy is better than asking your sister to sew you Ku Klux Klan outfits for a sketch? That's not something you have to mess with in improv, is that what you're telling me?
You know what?
You're crazy.
Kudos to her, though. She's the sketch Betsy Ross.
Yeah. You know what? Have we talked about it on the show before?
I don't think so.
So we did a sketch that involved some Ku Klux Klan members, mm-hmm. and before you're like, oh, that's pretty tasteless. It probably was one of the sweetest sketches we've ever written.
Yeah.
It was pretty great. Weird. It was pretty great.
Or it turned into that eventually somehow. But we needed some, like, some Klan outfits, and my sister, who is like a lawyer that helps, you know, women, and a lot of them are teenagers, like couldn't just doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
And yet I was like, hey, could you sew me some Klan outfits? And she sewed super realistic Klan outfits.
They're beautiful.
They're pretty much the best.
When I unzipped, she brought them to the show, and she's like, here are these things you asked me to make. You know, I'm like, oh, thank you, sister. And I unzipped the bag and got them out, and I instantly felt like real weird. I was like, these are way too real.
Yeah, because it felt right.
Yeah, felt real right. I was like, you know what, guys? No show tonight.
You know what?
I got to go hand out some leaflets.
White is right. Thank you, sister. Let's give her a full name, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. Yeah, that seems like the right way to say that Muslim's name. Hey, that also felt good. We'll be right back. Well, I mean, that was very brief, but thank you for stopping by the Hodge Pound.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me by the Hodge Pound. But next time you have me over, maybe have some dogs here, like in a real pound.
Oh, maybe that'll be our you know, instead of getting our woos, we'll just make our dogs bark.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe we'll just we'll have like a segment on the show called like the Mask Outing Suggestion Box, and then you can call in. We'll have people call in and just be like, "Hey, more dogs in the studio."
There as long as that suggestion box is a little bit erotic.
As long as that suggestion box is tied around a Poochie's neck like a Saint Bernard's barrel.
Was that ever real, by the way?
What?
Did St. Bernard's ever bring barrels of rum to people?
Oh, suggestions? No. That's stupid. That's the dumbest thing.
That wouldn't save anybody.
Someone's stuck in the snow and then a St. Bernard comes along. It's like, go back to school. Fuck you, St. Bernard.
What if they gave that person something to live for? They're like, you know what? Why don't I just slowly die here in the snow, let the warmth over. Oh, hey, St. Bernard. Go back to school. I will. That's right. Jurassic Park theme.
Oh, my God. They were burned the whole time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they did bring booze because it warmed them up, even though it actually cools them down. But yeah, it was just, look, it was the fucking 1800s, all right?
I didn't know what they're doing. I can't train my dog to not eat my copy of Step Brothers, let alone have it bring me booze. Oh, the St. Bernards.
Yeah.
They were well-named. They were saints. Were they recognized by the Catholic Church that those dogs were saints?
They were. Here's my medallion with the St. Bernard on it.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
If you go to Vatican City, you'll see the stained glass picture of a St. Bernard.
Oh, and is that what they are, the patron saint of rum-filled barrels?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Was it rum?
I believe it was whiska.
I guess that makes sense, those snowy mountains that didn't have that sugary rum.
Yeah, exactly.
All that sugar cane growing in.
The steel drums are calling.
Danny boy. The steel drums are calling. Girls gone wild. Commercials coming up next. Someone take that audio clip and make that new number one hit. Well, cool, Jimena. Thank you for stopping by the podcast. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll be back with more Mascot Wedding Show.
Hey, and we're back on the Mascot Wedding Show once again. In case you forgot, I'm David.
And I am Mac. We have a very special in-studio guest coming in today. Let me give a little backstory before we introduce you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so there's this show on Spike TV. Mm. It's called Bar Rescue, and it's like a fix-up show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like Kitchen Nightmares, but for bars.
Exactly, right. And so in the show, there's this nightclub expert, quote-unquote, named John Taffer. And he goes to struggling bars and he gives them a makeover and like reopens them. And you know, and the host, John Taffer, he's like a no-nonsense guy, of course, because they need one of these guys to like get in people's faces. And then the bars they choose, they give them a lot of reasons to get upset. And I think that's part of the fun of the show.
Right, yeah.
And I first heard about Bar Rescue because two bars in Austin were on that show. Like the Brixton was the one on East 6th. And after they were done, John Taffer and Bar Rescue rebranded it Rocket Room 6. Which they quickly abandoned. And then the other one is Headhunters, that like sort of punk tiki bar or whatever the fuck it is on Red River.
Yeah.
That one got rebranded as Metal and Lace, a steampunk bar, which was really embarrassing. Like watching those, like they're like, hey, we're reopening the bar and like opening night, all these people in those dumb goggles. And I was just like, this is for no one.
Yeah. You have a new dream now.
Yeah. But I never went to those bars. I went to the Brixton like once, I guess. Maybe it was under the original ownership. I don't know. But when I learned that a bar that you and I, David, used to frequent was going to be on, I was very excited. And the bar I'm talking about is Diversions Nightclub in Sunken Valley. And when I found this out, I got excited. I was like, maybe we can do something with this. I made some calls. And our guest today, who's been waiting patiently, thank you. Well, I explained all that, is the owner of Diversions Nightclub, Krista Shelton. Hello, Krista.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on.
It's not Diversions anymore.
That's right. It was rebranded as part of Bar Rescue.
Mm-hmm. It's got a new name.
Right. But that episode, that hasn't aired yet, right?
Yep. And it may not air, actually.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't mind, could you talk about, like, the history of Diversions Nightclub? Like, set the scene a little?
Well, I opened Diversions Nightclub in Sunken Valley in 1998. Business was great for a long time, actually, but for some reason, sales started to stay in decline. Mm-hmm. Still successful, though. And then last year, as everyone in Central Texas knows, Sunken Valley was briefly overrun by those wild dogs.
That's right. It was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we reopened after they left, but at that point, the state of decline, plus the lost revenue due to the dog invasion, well, we were in real bad shape.
Well, besides the dogs, why do you think the business started to decline at Diversions?
Well, I mean, you tell me. I mean, you guys used to be regulars.
Well, I mean, that's true. There was a time when we were spending a lot of nights at Diversions.
That's true, yeah.
Well, why'd you stop coming?
Well, I mean, I really don't hang out in any bars these days.
Yeah, I mean, I like Diversions, but it was a bit of a wilder bar.
Damn straight was.
Yeah, I mean, it was. But, I mean, you guys had cheap drinks, and you always had specials.
Yeah, that's right. Every Monday was nickel shot night.
Holy Lord, yeah. Yeah, nickel shots. That appeals to a certain kind of crowd.
Yeah, I didn't really like, to be honest with you, I didn't like going in on Mondays. It was kind of like a harder drinking element that I was into.
Well, Tuesdays was punch for punch night.
Yeah, that's right. You can get all you could drink, bucket punch.
Yes, bucket punch. Okay, bucket punch was Everclear and Hawaiian punch.
That's right.
As long as you let Joaquin, the bartender, punch you. That's right. That's what we did.
Right. But Tuesdays, punch for punch night, were really frat heavy.
Yeah, and of course, you also had your trademark Jaeger Blaster.
Man, the world famous Diversions Jaeger Blaster, huh?
Yep. Yeah, and that was a peanut butter sandwich, like a finger sandwich, soaked in Jägermeister, right? And how much would you sell that for?
Well, $1.
$1.
Okay, $1, yeah. So, I mean, it's clear to see that you're probably losing money on those.
Well, that's right. Especially when we stopped getting new customers and it was the same regulars dying off.
All right, so people like us, maybe, who just started going to bars less.
No, I mean, they actually started dying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Our regulars were a pretty tough crowd. Wednesdays was rugby night. Two Sunken Valley rugby teams would come in after games. Now, they would drink a lot, let me tell you.
Yeah, but I remember going in on a Wednesday and wanting to leave pretty quick because those guys were getting pretty rowdy.
They used to have a rule where the losing team would have to buy the first three rounds.
Okay, so already every person in there is at least three drinks in.
And then the one member of the losing team would have their hand broken on the bar. usually by dropping a margarita machine on it, though.
Hold on a second. Their hands would get broken.
Well, it's a rugby thing.
Yeah, that's a lot for like a new customer to take in.
Every other Thursday was cops drink free night.
Okay, maybe not the best idea for a bar.
Why not? Because you have to support the troops, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then the other Thursdays would be street justice nights.
What is a street justice night?
It's when any vigilantes bringing us proof that they enacted some raw citizen-powered street justice would get a free test tube shot with any beer.
Okay, maybe that's,
maybe that's not the best thing to encourage.
Yeah.
Well, those citizen soldiers loved it. They would drink our kegs dry.
Yeah, but then they would go where? Back on the streets?
Well, hopefully. They were making a real big difference out there.
Well, that's debatable.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, did the cops and vigilantes ever confuse which Thursday it was?
Oh, man, all the time.
Right. And what would happen then?
I believe the best way to describe it would be bloodbath.
Okay, bloodbath, right. So business wasn't going so great.
And at some point, you decided to contact the bar rescue producers or something, right?
Yes, we got it all set up and they told us they'd stop by one night, and we didn't get a lot of warning, so the night the host actually came wasn't the best time for us.
All right, why is that?
Well, it's an alternate Thursday, and the cops had just arrested the masked wrench. He was a hero that kept drive-thru safe after 2 a.m. by wielding a wrench.
Okay.
John Taver comes in with the camera crew, and I'm already three Mexican battleships in.
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you right there. What is a Mexican battleship?
Well, it's a Pacifico beer with three drop shots of tequila.
So that's a full pint of beer with three tequila shots in it.
Yes, although we do serve it in a mini pitcher.
Of course you do. So you're probably pretty inebriated.
I was about 62% shithouse drunk, and Taffer gives me the business about that. Then he goes back to our kitchen where we make the Jaeger blasters, and he got really upset about that, too.
He likes getting upset. So why did he... But why what made him get really upset about the kitchen?
Well, it turns out we had a minor animal contamination.
Did you guys have rats back there?
No, it was a family of white-tailed deer.
Wait, a family of deer?
Yeah, they'd gotten into peanut butter vats.
Okay, that's pretty extreme.
So he yelled at me when he saw the deer, and then he yelled at me when I got rid of them.
Well, how did you get rid of them?
Well, I just yelled and waved my arms till they ran out of the bar.
Okay, that didn't seem so strange.
Where Joaquin was waiting with his Kia Sorento.
Oh, no. Did he?
He ran them down without mercy. Taffer really hated that.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he hit Joaquin with a kendo stick.
What's a kendo stick?
Well, it's like a wooden sword.
He did this on camera.
He yelled cut first. Then one of the vigilantes ran at Taffer because they thought he was a criminal.
Which vigilante?
Oh, the Night Pretzel.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think I know that guy.
Taffer laid him out with one punch.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And then he ordered the camera crew to hold the Night Pretzel down while he lashed him with the kendo stick. It was pretty brutal. But the next day, everything was fine. Taffer came in real sweet-like the next day.
Oh, he does that. He'll sweet-talk you on day two.
He asked me about my life, told me he was on my side. He was real nice. He told me I had to be a classier lady myself if I wanted classier clientele.
So when he told you to be a classier lady, I mean, that seems kind of insulting.
Well, you know, I started going to this one church group every Sunday and teach me how to take criticism real well. So I smiled and then I just went to cry in the bathroom.
Oh, God bless you.
That's weird that churches did that. I mean, you know what, though? Yeah, more power to you.
So the other thing he told me was that I had to get rid of all my specials, including the Dirty Cosby.
Dirty? I don't remember. Hold on. Okay, what's in a Dirty Cosby?
It's two Jello shots plopped in a glass boot of Hurricane High Gravity malt liquor.
Oh, my God.
He also made me fire Joaquin.
Oh, not Joaquin. Was that tough?
I never liked that guy. Just throwing that out there.
Well, you know, it was tough getting rid of Joaquin. Especially when Joaquin took the Highlander sword with him.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The Highlander sword? Was that the sword that was above the bar?
It was the sword Christopher Lambert, as the French say, used in Highlander 2, The Quickening. I hung it above the bar so customers would know there could only be one bar for Sunken Valley's hottest drink specials.
I never got that just from looking at the sword that it was the Highlander sword.
All right, so let's back this up a second. I feel like we're bearing the lead. So Joaquin grabbed an actual sword?
We had to call the cops to remove Joaquin. After the cops showed up, Taffer yelled cut, and two cops held Joaquin down while Taffer gave him the sword whips.
What, with the kendo stick?
The Highlander sword.
Wait, he was whipping him with an actual sword.
With a sword whip, you only use the flat side of the sword.
Well, oh, okay.
No, hold on. Did that cut him at all?
Well, he suffered a mild slicing.
Mild slicing. Dear Lord.
Okay, so he fires some people, hires others, cleans up the bar, right? And then... But then he rebrands it.
Right. And he changed the name of the bar to the Chupacabra Bar.
Ugh. So, not the Chupacabra, but...
Chupacabra Bar.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. The new bar was nice. Had a fancy new booths, okay. New uniforms for the staff. Real classy. On opening night, he packed the house and it started good.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Well, then what happened?
Well, I needed to earn my keep, okay? I don't take charity, so... If he was going to do all this to help me in my bar, I was going to go further, go the extra mile to help.
Oh, that's good. I mean, a lot of people on that show, they just like sit there and this guy does all the work. And you're like, does this person even deserve it?
Right, exactly.
So it seemed like you had a good attitude about it.
Well, you know, that's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
You always go the extra mile to get the whippings. Anyway, so I hired some protection to keep the stray dogs and the roughnecks out.
Okay, it wasn't... Did you hire Joaquin back?
Well, I hired a chupacabra.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Hold on, an actual... A chupacabra.
Oh, well, yes.
What does that even look like?
It's like a part goat, part wolf. You can get them from a guy,
no,
I know.
No, no, you can't, because chupacabras aren't real.
Well, maybe they weren't real, son. But then maybe I know a guy who's got a horny wolf and a permissive goat.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just back off that real quick.
Yeah. Okay. What did John Taffer think about that goat wolf?
He didn't like it, but everyone else at the bar loved it. They were buying it, shots, taking pictures with it. It was great.
Oh, they were buying shots for an animal.
Right up until the fire started.
Oh, how did that happen?
Well, like I said, I don't take charity. Taffer came up with some new drink specials that were very fancy, so I went the extra mile and came up with my own specialty shot called the Flaming Mr. Pibb. It tastes just like Mr. Pibb.
What's in a Flaming Mr. Pibb?
It's Bacardi 151 DayQuil and some detergent.
And that tastes just like Mr. Pibb.
After you light it on fire, it does.
God.
But the flame scared the chupacabra and it started chomping people and it was real drunk, God tell you.
That sounds like a real 100% disaster.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Did you call the police?
I tried, but before I could dial, Taffer grabbed my phone. He said, "No cops." Then he took his candlestick, broke it in half, and stabbed the chupacabra through the heart.
Oh my God. It's like a horror movie.
He then shut everything down and ordered everyone out of the bar. One customer was yelling about suing us and bar rescue and the show, but Taffer ripped out the chupacabra's heart and used it to smear blood on the guy.
Oh my
then
God.
He whispered something in the customer's ear, and that sent him a-running.
Wait, do you know what he whispered to the customer?
Well, I couldn't hear it, but one of the members of my staff think Taffer whispered the words, thinner.
Thinner.
No, I'm out. I don't like this at all.
God, it was creepy.
Next week, the sign guys will come and take down the Chupacabra bar sign and put up diversion signs back up. Like it never happened. Except for the thousands of dollars of new equipment and furnishings.
Okay, I can see why maybe they didn't want to air that episode Taffer's murdering animals on
Yeah, exactly. Well, but let me ask you, I mean, after all of that happened, I mean, how do you feel?
Business is a little better, so that's good, but I do wish I could have been on TV.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, do you get paid the same either way?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the new bar is your payment.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, you know what, Krista? That is a crazy story.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we should probably wrap this up, though. Yes. Krista, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Well, I have to go buy a hammer now.
Is the hammer for the bar?
Oh, yeah. We broke another margarita machine the other night, so Joaquin came up with the idea for the rugby players to use a hammer to break hands.
Okay. Oh, you hired back Joaquin?
I did, and now we are lovers.
Krista Shelton, everybody. Thank you for coming on. Krista. Yay,
bye. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye, Krista. Bye. God bless you.
All right. There she goes.
That was good for her.
Yeah.
You know? Just seeing businesses get back up on their feet.
It is nice to see a local business do well.
Maybe we should go to Diversions again.
I don't know, man.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah,
I just throw that out there just to kind of see how you felt about it, but I can't do it.
It was the closest bar to where we lived at the time.
Yeah.
And then it just got real rough.
I haven't been there in like 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm finally shitting solids again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And there's no jewelry in them anymore. So that's awesome.
That scar healed the one on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's tough every time I look in the mirror, not thinking back to that one night.
Yeah.
Where the night knife got me.
But I mean, how far along are you? I mean, could you finally remove the glued on beard or?
Nah, that beard's still glued on.
Okay. Well,
I mean, if I go outside without a glued on beard, I just.
You look ridiculous.
Can we stop the podcast for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, I guess we should start wrapping back things up. Oh, yeah. Oh. Jimena.
Hey, can you?
Hey.
I thought you left.
I'm here.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, I'm sorry. We would have invited you in. We were talking to Krista Shelton. But...
Oh, yeah, no, I ran into her. I used to go to Diversions, but then that's how I lost my arms.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Your replacement looked beautiful, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad it's always nice to hear.
Yeah. Do you ever hear from that Filipino girl that you got it from?
You know, we're pen pals.
Oh, cool.
We're pen pals, but like old style. So we actually mail letters to each other with, you know, so.
But there was her writing arm that you got. So.
Well, she has her Filipino brother writing the letters.
Oh, oh. Why'd you have to specify that her brother was Filipino?
Because he is.
Well.
He's one of them.
I don't hear color.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So, Jimena, do you have any shows coming up? I know Stag, because we were all in it, has some shows going up.
Oh, Stag. Well, if this had been last weekend, I'd be plugging my precious dad's Bar Mondo.
That's right, but it is not.
It is not.
So see it on Hulu.
But anytime,
so see it on Hulu.
Anytime you get a chance to go see Precious Dad's, it really is all killers in that group.
That was the point I was going to make. Yeah. I'm real proud of my precious dad's buds. So yeah, go see their show when they have a show.
And Stag Comedy, we got Moon Tower coming up. We managed to sneak our way into that festival. And we will have dates on stagcomedy.com, also including an Austin Sketchfest date
Yeah.
Coming up. And then possibly in June, guys, we're looking to come to Houston.
Oh.
So we got that, I want to say 80% done. If it falls through, don't sue us. But.
Ooh, are we playing at the aquarium?
Yes, we're going to play in the aquarium. We're going to play in the Shark Tank.
Then we're going to run down to the Hard Rock.
Yeah, we really did not understand what the Shark Tank meant. I thought we were going to be pitching a business idea.
We're not?
No.
Oh, fuck. I had an idea for a place called Shark Tank.
Well, we're fucked. David.
Yes.
Hustle Show. What's up with that?
Hustle Show. We've got a new one coming up. It's the second Thursday of every month. You're putting me on the spot now. But yeah, it's the second Thursday of every month at Cold Town Theater. Come check it out. It's a great time. And yeah.
And you Hustle Show also appearing in Austin Sketch Fest coming up.
Yeah. We'll have a lot to say about Austin Sketch Fest. It's going to be a fun time. And we'll be pretty prominently involved in that. So
yeah, that's right. And hopefully we'll get some fun podcasts out of it too. If you want to find out where I'm going to be, MacBlakeComedy.com is the place to go. David,
yeah,
how should we get out of here?
Oh, I say let's get out of here by being chased through a factory and then we fall into a fat of acid.
Okay.
A fat of acid.
Yay, oh. I'm so glad you said a fat of acid. I love that.
Are those guys still on us?
Let me look. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh,
okay, we gotta go fast.
David, that's a vat of acid.
I burned so hard.
Oh, my God, he's dead. Where am I gonna go? I really didn't have... Oh, he's still alive.
Join me in the afterlife, Max.
I don't know. The acid seems like it hurts a lot.
It hurts a lot.
Well, I really... You were my ride here, so okay. God, it also burns.
Matthew Falcon, take us away.
The Falcon's in the acid too now. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, my eyes melted.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.